Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Revelation shows us the kingdom of righteousness where Jesus Christ reigns on a throne over all and his people bow and love him and worship him. That is all set in contrast to a counterfeit system that Satan has set up in the earth where many people have worshiped the beast, an antichrist, and adopted the love of the world and been deceived. We're going to look at all this today and how Jesus is addressing people and telling them, don't believe the lie. Don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Revelation helps us so much with a proper loyalty and what is most important in life. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. Our number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Please find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. All of your support, 100%, goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. You can do that right online at agradio.org. We so thank you for your prayers and your financial support of the program. This is now part two of a message that we aired yesterday, and now you know the rest of the story from Revelation chapter 14. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
None of them, I said, will be lost. My Father gave them to me. I've purchased them. They've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not losing one. He just gave you a vision of the saints in glory, and you're there. This is a vision of the future. Every last one who believes and bows to him will forever be with him. He's going to stand by you. He'll never lose you. He'll never lose you. There is no better place to prove the Reformed doctrine or the perseverance of the saints than right here. What a beautiful section, isn't it? Every last one. And I think this is where Revelation is so wonderful and helpful to us, and it's sad it's been so abused. Think of the things we suffer in this life being in the middle earth of warfare right now. What would be the worst thing you could ever think that would happen to you? It's not sitting in a hot building right now. I'm apologizing. I am really sweating. I realize I didn't really iron my shirt this morning, but I just can't take it. What's the worst thing that could happen to you in this life as a follower of Jesus? You could be put to death for your faith, right? Chapter 14 is answering that struggle you're having with fear. I'm convinced that what is particularly behind this is the book of Daniel that I referenced last week, particularly chapter 3, as God's people were in Babylon. Remember what was captured there when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put on trial? Two loyalties were captured right then and right there. And there was this idolatrous image of a beast set up, and it was all about loyalty of heart in that section. And remember what happened. We kind of rehearsed a little bit of it, but I want to give you the conclusion because I believe Revelation 14 is working from this, that when King Nebuchadnezzar made the image of gold, he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He gathered all of Babylon together and commanded everyone to worship the image. So Daniel 3 is giving you the worst possible scenario that could happen in the kingdom of men to you. Worst possible. Whoever would not bow down to the image would be cast into the burning furnace of fire. Isn't that about the scariest thing? I don't know that there's too many things I'd want to have to go. And then he heats it up 7 times. So much so that the men who got near it were incinerated. If I were told I'm no longer able to worship Jesus, if I were told that I'm not able to gather, and if I do, I will be executed. By the way, do you think that could ever happen? You'd have never said that 20, 30 years ago. Now you're like, yeah, it's possible. Possible. This scenario here, remember what happened? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know, we don't even have to answer you. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. He was furious. I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to play the horn when the music begins. Powerful. Horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, every kind of music. You better fall down and worship the image that I've made. Well and good. But if you do not, you're immediately going into the burning fiery furnace. Don't even need to wait and see. We're not doing it. Remember what happened? They hurl him in there. Nebuchadnezzar walks near the fire and he looks in. And he says to his people, look, didn't we throw in three into the fire? But I see four men, unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God. And that's how it should be read. Some will say sons of God. It's the Son of God. He was there. Who was with him? Jesus. There's the lamb with his sheep in the worst possible scenario of life. And notice that's very title is being used in this section. The effect of chapter 14 is to say that even in their martyrdom, look at their deliverance. Look at who is with them. And look, he's standing. He's triumphant. And the imagery of heaven then is this. You're the ones happy. You're already happy. He's already given you joy now. But you're the ones that have happiness reserved for you. You're the ones that have joy in heaven reserved for you. You're going to get to sing the new song. It's the song of the Lamb, the song of deliverance. You're the ones that are going to be singing before the angels. They won't even have the privilege to sing this song. It's your song. You're the ones redeemed. You're his people. The fact is to say your greatest singing is coming. Don't expect it on earth, by the way. Your greatest singing's coming. That's held out for you. It's reserved for you. It's for you. Imagine doing that with all the heavenly choirs, all the people God saved, a multitude no man can number. Get a look at it. That's this. You're going to be singing like Israel after Pharaoh was drowned in the sea. For the devil at the end goes in the Red Sea and it's over, and you're going to stand and sing the song of the Lamb forever. Deliverance. And guess what? You're going to be an absolutely pure people. In other words, there's no more sin. You followed the Lamb wherever he went, and you will follow him in heaven. Notice how he characterizes you here. You have, verse 5, he has promised to take away your sins. Last phrase, they are without fault before the throne. You'll never have to fear condemnation. You're without fault. You're pictured here in complete happiness. Your sins dealt with. And now you're in glory. You're in awe of the Lamb. You're singing. You're at peace. You're presented faultless before the throne. And you're seeing him who was able and had kept you through all of this. And you marvel at him forever. It's really sad how much we hold on to here, isn't it? Really sad how much we hold on to all this. I'm as guilty as the next guy. When this is your story and your end as a believer in Jesus. Now, I took time to develop that because the rest of this chapter comes back now to say something to those who dwell on the earth. And it's serious. Chapter 13 was utterly scary. Chapter 14 is much scarier for the world. Who can fight the beast? Remember that question? Who can fight the beast? Who is like the beast and who can fight against it? That was the question in chapter 13. And chapter 14 says, wrong question. Wrong question. You're fearing the wrong one. Don't fear him who can kill the body. Fear him who can kill the body and soul in hell. The second part now says, to you who dwell on the earth, speaking to unbelievers, you should listen to a much more different voice in the earth. You should understand why he's saying that, because last time he said there's a false Holy Spirit whose voice is like the voice of a dragon leading all these people astray, and Revelation 14 says, don't listen to that voice. Boys and girls, don't listen to that voice. Voices in your head that tell you this, and don't listen to that. Here's an entirely different voice. John sees three angels flying through heaven, and they have a distinct message at the last moment of history. What's the message? The first angel is giving a kind of last call. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to those who dwell on earth, to preach to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, he is proclaiming with a loud voice, and this is the heart of the church's message. Look at it there. And he said with a loud voice, verse 7, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Think of all the idolatry of saving earth. Worship him. He's God. This is a powerful voice. And the assessment of Romans 1 was constantly of mankind that there is no fear of God before people's eyes. Isn't that what Nebuchadnezzar realized? You know what Nebuchadnezzar said afterward? He said this. This is what Nebuchadnezzar realized after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were delivered by the Son of God. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. For there is no other God who can rescue in this way. Fear him, says the first angel. This is God. Here's his gospel. It's the gospel of his Son. You've been having this preached to you how many years now? It's what he's doing right now. You're seeing this fulfilled. And the second angel comes, and what's his message? The second angel comes down and is preaching, Babylon is fallen! Babylon is fallen! That great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Babylon is presented as those who dwell on the earth, who worship the beast. They're two twin sins of the world, are idolatry and sexual immorality. And we know that. This is why the Bible is always saying to us, stay away from it. Stay away from it. You're done with that. That's Babylon. The angel's saying to us, it's over. The city's fallen. The world's fallen. The world is passing away and the lust of it. That's our message. The whole world's coming down. It's going to be by fire and made new. Then a third angel breaks out with the greatest warning in the Bible. It's the final sort of line that's drawn, similar to Moses drawing a line in the sand. You have a choice. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on their forehead or on their hand, he's going to drink of the wine of the wrath of God. And it's going to be poured out in full strength. This is the strongest section on hell in the Bible. He will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and their smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and its image and whoever receives the mark of his name. So you have two choices here that are presented that result in two worships. You are either loving the world and your actions are serving the beast characterized by idolatry and sexual immorality, given over to that, or you've listened to Jesus, who's proclaiming to you the everlasting gospel that you need a Savior. William Hendrickson says it so well, that this third angel here characterizes people on the eve of judgment. They are easygoing, they are indifferent, they are unconcerned, they are listless, they are careless. And he says, think of an artist who's out on the rock by the ocean, and he's absorbed in a painting. And he just keeps looking at the beauty of that painting as he works on it. And all of a sudden around him, the tide is coming and swirling, and it's going to pull him right off the rock. And everyone keeps saying to him, get off the rock! Get off the rock! All he does is keep that eyes on that painting. He is so taken by that painting. He loves that painting. He's so absorbed in that painting. And get off the rock! Rolling the eyes constantly. Never listening. Never taking it seriously. And the waves are about to bury him. See? That's the third angel saying. I feel like today that's such a common attitude even in the church. I don't know that we even believe this is going to happen anymore. Would we be so careless if we did? You know, would we? I wasn't totally excited about this second part of the sermon, I'll be honest. This is not what I want to preach. Who wants to preach this today? I got up and I thought, I love the first part. I'm having a hard time with the second part. Having a real hard time with it. And what can I say? Don't be like that. An everlasting gospel is being preached to you. Humble yourself. Confess your sins. Is that so awful? He's inviting you to receive everything. Bow the knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and look at the happiness that awaits you. Look at it. Worship God. The lie of the world, it doesn't bring you happiness. It doesn't. It wrecks you. It destroys you. You tell me you've run in sin. You know what it does to you. It's wrecked your life. We've all tried it. And he stretches out his hands today, all day long. Right? That's his voice today. At the last moment of history, you know, you think about all these voices coming at us all day long on the news, the media, all these voices pulling us away, pulling us away, pulling us away. Think of the power of this voice who on every day, Sunday, we gather and hear the gospel preached. That voice has more power than all those other voices. A false Holy Spirit leads us away. The Holy Spirit has the power to save every last one of the sheep, and he will. So you know this. Every Sunday the voice comes. What am I saying? What's the heart of my message? You know it's the heart of my message. The everlasting gospel is what I'm preaching to you, and I'm telling you to worship the King. Enjoy him. I'm telling you, don't be duped by Babylon. Don't be duped by this world and its system. It's done. It's over. It's fallen. It's going away. And the third thing I'm saying is if you worship the beast and you decide to accept that and run away in it, wrath awaits. I just think how wonderful the voice is still going out today that is delivering and has delivered millions and millions and millions of people out of this. That's how powerful the gospel preached is. I want to close this morning with this. The end of this is now a section that describes those who have decided to stand with the beast. They have rolled their eyes at the mission of the church. They've not taken it seriously. They've called it everything under the sun, strict, whatever. Not listened. And they've essentially joined, says Revelation 14, those who oppose the Lord and his anointed and his people. And Revelation 14 becomes the final statement of God on how it's going to go This is 2 Thessalonians 1 that says, you're enduring hardship, dear Christians, but know that it's a righteous thing with God to repay those with tribulation who trouble you. He will give you rest when Jesus comes, but when he is revealed with his angels, he will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of God. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This final vision here captures that in terms of a great harvest. It's what Jesus described in the parable of the wheat and the tares, when at the end the angels come and they do the separation. Here a great separation is described where the Son of Man is going to sit on a great judgment throne. And notice the language of a sickle, a farming tool for splitting grain. The angel is told to thrust it into the earth and reap, for the harvest is ripe. And guess who he reaps? First, you. You. He's going to gather you. He's going to gather you. And all the elect from the four corners of the earth are going to be brought into the kingdom, and we are going to forever be with the Lord. Amen. But then, the other angel is pictured as thrusting into the earth, gather the clusters of vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Verse 19, so the angel thrust his sickle in the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great wine presses of the wrath of God. As they were pressed down outside the city, blood came out of the wine presses up to a horse's bridle. There, this is the worst imagery of judgment. Blood flows deep. And you see the effect of the message, don't you? It's a judgment to take seriously. He's the one who is in control. No matter what happens to us, the Lamb is on our side in this earth. The light, momentary affliction that we face is nothing compared to the joy and bliss that awaits. I hope that encourages you so much today. But you see why we're here and doing what we're doing in the midst of all this? We're announcing an everlasting gospel so that people would be saved. The wicked don't prosper. The wicked don't prosper. This is what's in store for those who don't believe. And they face the one who they spent their whole life rejecting. So I say, don't be indifferent or careless. But there's something said so wonderful to us in the midst of all this. Did you notice in the middle of this, verse 12? Here's the call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. He just promised that those who die in the Lord from now on, that's you. Even if it's martyrdom, you know what he just attached to the death? His blessing. That's remarkable. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So here's the call to endurance through this. Don't lose heart. We follow Jesus wherever he goes. Soon you'll be there. Soon in glory, the Lamb will stand beside you, and he's with you now. He's promised you that. Lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. Do you hear it? Not one's lost. He wants you to know that even if one of you had to go through the worst possible death here, a persecution, he is said you're blessed. I've attached a blessing to that death. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not one's lost, not one. And you're going to get to sing there one day with no more tears. Best song you'll ever sing. Perfect joy, ultimate happiness, no more sorrow. You'll be without fault forever. Never to know this again. I know that tomorrow I may not be ready, but I'm ready now. Right? Because it gets hard out in the week, and that's why we need this every week. By grace, are you ready? Keep your eyes on the Son of God. those who keep the faith in the Son of God. We walk through fire, we walk through rain. But there in the fire is one like the Son of God who's promised us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll stand with you forever.
Listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.